Councillor Mary Fitzpatrick, you've come out in a press statement today and you said that the Minister for the Environment, Mr. Phil Hogan, that his boundary report and his proposals to change local boundary, I suppose geographically for the next local elections, is an insult to the people of Dublin. Do you want to comment a bit further on that, Mary?
Yeah, Phil Hogan, the Minister for the Environment, his Boundary Committee reported yesterday, and the report, as it pertains to Dublin, indicates that there will be an additional 50 councillors. Now, already in Dublin City Council, there are 52 councillors, and the Minister intends adding an additional 50 councillors between the four local authorities. So it's going to bring the total number of councillors in Dublin, you know, including Fingal, Dundee, Rathdown, South County Dublin and Dublin City. It's going to bring the number of councillors from 131 to 183, I think it is actually. So it's a bit more. And I just think that's a real insult to people, particularly in the week where people have been, you know, struggling to pay the property tax, and that they're being forced to pay, you know, that property tax is very much an anti-Dublin property tax. It's a very unfair property tax and takes no account of people's ability to pay. But people have, you know, wanting to do the right thing. A lot of people have, you know, adjusted their household budgets and you know, scraped it together and managed to make the payment.
Well, Mary, I'm sorry, no, but we'll stick to the boundary thing.
Okay, but the direct link is that, you know, that property tax is going to pay for local government, and local government, the minister is inflating in Dublin by adding 52 extra councillors. And we don't need extra councillors.
Yeah, but do you see that, you know, in fairness to Phil Hogan, he is Minister for the Environment nationally, and he has actually reduced the amount of councillors from 1,627 to 949 in the rest of the country, including Dublin.
But, I mean, I absolutely appreciate that his remit is of a national basis, and I would expect him to, you know, introduce policy that deals with the whole country. But I wouldn't expect him to take a blanket approach to local government across the country. You can't compare Dublin City with, let's say, a small town in Leitrim. And the minister seems to be trying to convince people that it is an advantage to the people of Dublin that he is doing away with a town council in Leitrim and adding 50-odd councillors in Dublin City, for which they will be paying. And that's not good enough. That's not an argument that stands up to any sort of scrutiny.
The fact
of the matter is, Dublin is not competing with small towns around the country. Dublin is a capital city trying to compete on an international
basis. I presume that's the point that the minister would make, that he's basing these changes on a report of the local electoral area boundary committee. And that is, there was a lot of talk about this one, and it was decided not to change that until after the census of 2011 was published. And I'm assuming that this is based on demographics and population. And as you said yourself, Dublin isn't a small town in Leitrim, that it probably needs more councillors.
But if you look at, let's just compare Dublin with another big international city where I lived myself. I emigrated and I spent the best part of 8 years living in New York City.
Yeah.
Now, New York City, if you take the five boroughs of New York, including Manhattan, the Bronx, Queens, Brooklyn and Staten Island, those five boroughs, minimum population of 8 million people, 8 million people. Now, Dublin City has only 500,000. But those 8 million people have a highly effective local government and they've only 51 councillors. Dublin City, just Dublin City with 500,000 people, has 53 already, and he's going to, or 52 already, excuse me, and he's going to increase that to 63. Now, that's not sustainable. There's no need for it in the first instance. And secondly, the cost of it is unjustifiable in this environment. People are not going to pay a local tax for local services to pay for more politicians. I don't believe any. I would defy the minister to find me anybody outside of the government parties that thinks this is a good idea for Dublin.
Well, I'd say you're right in that. I mean, now judging Gavin O'Reilly was writing in the journal.ie recently, and he if you read some of the comments, the public perception of politicians, of particularly local politicians around the country at the moment, is at an all-time low.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree.
I mean, I've been elected since 2004, so I'll be 10 years elected next year. And in those years, you know, I've worked hard in my constituency. I think it's a real privilege to represent your community, and I take the job seriously. But I would agree. I think there is a lot of cynicism. I think the general public, to a certain extent, is very right to, you know, have a disregard for local politicians.
The reason I
really believe the main reason they have a disregard for local politicians is because local politicians have very few powers and are unable to exercise power in the interests of their constituents all too often. And the minister has failed to address that. He's done nothing to address the imbalance of power between anonymous paid officials and democratically elected representatives. I believe we should have a drastic reduction in the number of politicians. In Dublin City, I think we could easily half the number. But give real powers to local politicians then, so that they can be really accountable,
Mary,
and really reflect.
Sorry to put this to ye, but to you, but in fairness, do you think that local politicians can be trusted with power? Now, for example, we've seen what's happened. The powers that you have, the only reserve functions that you have, for example, planning. I mean, we all know what happened to planning in and development plans in Dublin County Council and City Council.
Absolutely. I mean, I accept that. I would be as critical, if not more critical, probably, of the failures of of local politicians in the past. But you have to, Ger, accept as well that those planning irregularities and failures, or even, you know, in some people have described as, you know, the planning corruption, and it has been described as planning corruption.
I think that's been proven.
All of that took place, what was it, over 20 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And human nature is what it is. You will always have individuals who will be open to corruption or open to corrupting. I don't believe that politicians, people who go out and get themselves elected to represent their communities, have a monopoly on this. I don't believe that officials can't be subject to being corrupted either. I'm not saying I'm aware of any that are, but I'm just saying that they're as human as politicians. And what we have now is a complete imbalance where unelected officials have all of the power and democratically elected representatives of the people have almost none. Then let's do away with the pretense of democracy at a local level.
Yeah.
And let's just say that it is paid officials who will run the city. Because I think adding 60 more councillors in Dublin is going to do anything to correct that situation. And if anything, I believe it is going to make the situation an awful lot worse.
Oh, probably, and a lot of people will say that, you know, he should be reducing it by 50, but I mean, I'm taking his side, and I'm just saying that he's doing that because of demographics.
Where he's starting off is with the, of course, his argument, there is a logic to his argument, but if you set the remit that each elected representative has to represent 8,000 people, of course there's a justification for adding 60 more councillors. But who came up with the magic number of 8,000? It doesn't stack up. We don't need one politician for every 8,000 people. That's the point that I'm making. And if you were to take, as I said, New York City, where you have 8 million people and only 51 councillors, you know, a highly effective local government. We don't need, politicians who are taking care of every last pothole and standing at every corner. We need politicians who are reflecting their community's priorities and who are giving strategic direction then to well-qualified and well-paid officials. Unfortunately, what we have is the officials primarily setting and driving the agenda.
Oh, I'd have to disagree with you there, and in fairness, I have to defend some of the public officials. It is the councillors who do, we were talking about planning, it is the councillors who reserve the right to prepare or to approve the development plan. Okay, it is.
Mary,
you're going to have to, you're going to have to let me talk now for a second. It is the councillors who approve the development plan. It is the councillors who approve the budget. They direct the manager on the development plan. So it is the councillors. Now, you will find if you go back, and I have to defend public officials here, if you go back to the outcome of all these tribunals and inquiries, there was a lot more politicians found guilty of inappropriate actions. I think there may have been one or two officials, and we all know who they are, and I'm not going to mention names on air. But,
I completely agree with you, and you are absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Councillors approve the annual budget, and councillors approve the development plan.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They are the two reserve functions that councillors have.
Yeah.
However, they do it on the basis of the information presented to them by the officials.
Yeah.
The councillors have no resources. They don't have any resources of any description to enable them to make informed decisions. They don't have access to any research. Every piece of information they get is dependent on what they can get from the officials.
Who
are the paid experts? Yeah. Absolutely. And look, we have a lot of very fine public servants. We're doing a tremendous job. And what I think, though, however, is that
under extreme conditions as well. I mean, let's face it. You know, there's been I don't have the figures offhand, but there have been a lot of staff cutbacks and devolution and people moving around local authority offices.
Well, the whole country has been under pressure. But Dublin City Council, for example, still has a budget of close to €1 billion a year. It's a significant budget. It's a significant organisation with very significant resources. And what I believe is that there's a lot of very good work being done. I believe a lot of good work is being done by officials and by some elected representatives. But I don't think that the output of local government in Dublin City is going to be in any way improved or enhanced by adding 60 more councillors. Mm. That's not going to add value. It's not going to generate a better outcome or better services for the city.
In fairness, I'm kind of honour bound to give Phil Hogan's point of view. But can I ask you on a more general question? A long time ago, when public representation, when local government was first introduced into Ireland, it was introduced as a kind of a way to keep the home rulers quiet. Okay, they would let them kind of govern the local authorities. So it was introduced by the British government to rule Ireland at the time as a kind of a little treat for those who wanted to have home rule. And it has developed from what was considered a public service by the city fathers or the county fathers, for example. It has developed into what it is now, a very well-paid career. No, I mean, the salary, you correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I gather, the representational allowance is about 17,000 to 18,000. And I'm speaking again without the figures in front of me.
Yeah.
So there's also about 5,000 or 6,000 if you're lucky enough to become chairman of an SPC. There's also quite generous travel allowances, mobile phone allowances. I know, for example, in some cities, councillors would get a budget of around €6,000 to spend on conference attendance. There are twinning committees. There are mayoral. The mayor gets a salary of, I don't know what Dublin is. I know in rural or in some of the smaller cities, it's around 45,000-50,000. I presume Dublin is a hell of a lot more. And this was really envisaged as a good citizen practicing civic mindedness and helping out to govern the city or county in where he lived. You know, so it has, perhaps we should go back to our roots and say, okay, let's have more councillors, but let's have interested people, civic minded people who will do this for, dare I say it, free.
Yeah, look,
that's where it started, you know?
Yeah, I would say okay, in terms of, let's deal with the payments issue.
Mm-hmm.
My whatever I receive by way of payments is on my website, maryfitzpatrick.ie. And what I get is that representational payment of about 16,000, 16,500. And it's, I think in total it comes up to about 23,000, 24,000 euros. I'm not a chair of an SPC. Myself and the Fianna Fáil group are the only group of councillors on Dublin City Council since we were elected in 2009 who have not taken the conference expenses. We did that as a point of principle. I personally believe that, as I said, we don't need all of the councillors that we have. I think if we want to, you know, when politicians talk about politics and new politics and, you know, having politicians who are accountable and having politicians who are open and transparent and who are representative of their communities, then I think you need to start, when you talk about reform of politics, you need to start at a local level. It's all well and good to grab a headline by saying you're going to abolish the Seanad, but in reality, that'll have no material effect on, you know, ordinary people's lives. It's not even elected by them to start with. Whereas if you started with reform at a local level, I believe that you could get more people involved. It could be a real political role. You could then devolve real powers to local government so that local government doesn't become just a delivery vehicle locally for centralised government, you know, for national government policy.
Yeah, I know what
policy.
You mean. Yeah.
So I think what we need to do is significantly reduce the number of councillors. But I do think that then, with a significantly reduced number of councillors, you need to give somebody a living wage. €23,000 in Dublin City is not a fortune. You're not going to be rich. Depending on your circumstances, you may or may not be able to live on it. So I do think a reasonable salary, if it was a much smaller number of councillors and if they had real powers. That's not what Phil Hogan is proposing. Phil Hogan is proposing to continue with the payments that he has in place at the moment. And he's talking about adding more councillors. I think in Dublin, the additional cost of his proposal will be somewhere in the region of €3 million a year. That's unacceptable.
But it's just
unacceptable in this environment.
Yeah, he would say that he's reducing it then nationwide, you know?
He may be reducing nationwide, but with the property tax now, what is going to happen is people pay their property tax locally. He's told us all we're paying for local services. He told us we're paying that for local government. So we in Dublin, whether they're paying what they're paying in Leitrim or Roscommon, really will have no relevance. What will happen is that 3 million of the local property tax being paid in Dublin, and that's only for the additional councillors, the people of Dublin will be paying.
But so, Mary, you did say, that local councillors, I'm going to stick to my point that, I mean, it was originally envisaged as a volunteer service. It was an honour, actually. In the same as being a peace commissioner was an honour. And, you will take home between 23 and 30,000 euros this year.
No, it'll be
24. We'll settle 25,000 euros, right? Somebody living on social welfare will take home less than 10,000 euros this year.
Yeah.
You know, you're being paid, and I please don't get me wrong here, you're doing an exceptionally fine job, but you're being paid for what is essentially an honour, a civic service, and a part-time position. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I take the job very seriously. I don't hold any other paid employment.
Yeah.
After I've taken care of my family, I have three children, my husband and my family, I dedicate myself to representing my community.
And I would say
I'm out 4 or 5 nights a week. I dedicate at least 40 hours a week to it. Now, not every councillor does it that way, and you're absolutely right. You could have it reduced to a purely representational role with a token gratuity or whatever.
Mm.
The minister is fully within his powers to do that. He has chosen not to. He has chosen to add more councillors and to inflate the costs. And I think that's unacceptable in Dublin.
Yeah. Well, now, in fairness, a lot of Fianna Fáil ministers for local government or ministers for the environment who have the portfolio now, no minister with that portfolio has ever, from any party, has ever suggested reducing the payment for politicians, you know. Now, local.
But sure, I don't dispute that fact.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make what Phil Hogan is doing right. It doesn't make it right that we're paying an unfair property tax to pay for more politicians in Dublin.
But then
that doesn't make it right.
Perhaps go along my suggestion and say, well, look, you know, we're doing it for out of the civic mindedness. We'll take a salary reduction. Now, TDs and ministers have taken
a salary reduction. We essentially, the Fianna Fáil group, are the only councillors who essentially gave themselves a reduction by not taking these conference expenses. All of the other councillors, Labour, Fine Gael, Sinn Féin, and Independents, they've all taken the conference expenses, and by the end of this term, we'll have spent, I don't know, a million or so on conference expenses. We are the only group. And so you can judge us by our actions. There's only six of us out of 52. But, you know, we have very clearly demonstrated that we were willing to take a cut, not to abuse the system, not to put an extra financial burden. How the other councillors, justify their use of those expenses is for them.
Would you call on the other councillors to forego this?
Every year that the estimates have come up and the budget has come up, that is one issue. But to be honest, they have no interest in even considering it. And
three words spring to mind: turkeys, voting, and Christmas.
Yeah.
Mary, listen, that is something for maybe another day's work, but there is another topic there, in that this day of computerised conferencing and Google Plus and the internet, do we actually need to drive to Donegal to learn how to fill a pothole, you know, anyway?
Oh, absolutely. I just think that, a whole industry, I guess, has grown up around it, at this point, but... technology absolutely is available and is highly effective. I think we should make more use of it, and make more use of it to engage with, you know, the people that we're serving as well.
That's right. Councillor Mary Fitzpatrick, Fianna Fáil councillor for Dublin, thank you very, very much for coming on online and giving us your side of that particular story.